Hello and welcome to an all-new episode of the 3-Bid League podcast. As always, I'm your host, Tyler, and I'm not going to read off the list of guests yet because I'm not entirely sure what all is going to get tossed into this episode. You can check the description. It'll all be down there, but we're going to kick things off here. I do know that George Templeton from VCU Rams Rewind is here to talk about this astounding VCU comeback. George, thank you for joining me.
Oh, it's good to be here, and astounding is a very good word to use to describe this. Flabbergasting, stunning, amazing, impossible, unimaginable, with many other synonyms we could use for that as well.
Yeah, they were down 17 with about 15 minutes to go. It's the second largest comeback in the second half in NCAA tournament history. Nevada's in 2022. Coming back from 22 down against Cincinnati is the only one that was better. And then, of course, they still had to survive that just honestly kind of disgusting overtime where I've lost track of my stats here. What was the overtime score? 7-3 VCU in that one. And I don't know. Where should we start? Terrence Hill's offensive explosion, the shifts in the VCU transition defense, the fact that none of their opponents can make important foul shots anymore. There's a whole lot of places we can go here, George.
I want to start with the fact that you talked about being down 19 in the second half. It was still a 14-point game with 7:10 to go. And I had given them away. I thought it was over. To me, this game was 2023 against St. Mary's is what this game reminded me of, except we didn't have the brief VCU taking the lead to start second half before St. Mary's ran them out of the building. And then it was Utah State in November of this year, of this season, where they were hopelessly out of it. They were down 13 at the last media timeout, rallied to tie, and if they could have made their free throws, could have even stolen that game in regulation or put it to overtime. I was floored at the end of the game, as you might imagine. I mean, the Terrence Hill thing, I suppose we could start there, but as you rightly say, it's so much more than that, even though he's had one of the great games in the history of this program tonight.
Yeah, and one of my favorite stats here from Jeff Borzello over at ESPN, the last 15 minutes of the game, so that's basically the 10-minute mark in the second half on, North Carolina made 4 field goals. They had 5 turnovers. Their last made shot came with 2 minutes and 44 seconds left in regulation. Over those 15 minutes, Terrence Hill scored 17 points on his own.
It's just, it's laughable. Because VCU, I mean, I thought they started the game well. I thought in half court they were defending pretty well, and that most of what Carolina was doing early in the game was good transition offense, and VCU was struggling to get back, and that was frustrating. And then in the middle of the game, Carolina was getting whatever they wanted. VCU looked like 5 individuals on that end of the floor and the other one. It was like just about every other NCAA tournament game since VCU heroically lost to Oklahoma in 2016 on essentially a road game floor. It was infuriating to watch. And then yet they pull out that stat, and from 7:10 on, it's 2 field goals in 12 minutes and 10 seconds. I don't know where that defense came from, to be honest, and I still can't explain it now. I'm just glad they found the defense that they played in the last 3 or 4 weeks, as opposed to earlier in the game when they were playing defense like it was, you know, early December to January.
Honestly, I felt like VCU's half-court defense was good for about 38 of the 45 minutes. They were awful in transition defense, just truly awful. And that's why they were getting killed at the end of the first half, because they were giving up layups off of missed shots, like not even just turnovers. North Carolina was just running all over them. I don't understand how they only had 11 fast break points. I genuinely think that that's a screw up by the scorekeeper.
I would agree.
Maybe a lot of those were them getting out quick kind of setting the offense in like a 3-on-2 and scoring early in the shot clock, but they were missing shots, they weren't getting back. Then they hit this little spell early in the second half when this game started to fall apart where they were running too hard at shooters. And one of the things that really kind of saved VCU in this game is North Carolina's perimeter guys just were not threats from three. Bogovac goes 0 for 4. Trimble goes 1 for 4. Jonathan Powell, I don't understand how he played crunch time. He was awful. He went 0 for 5. The only guy who's hurting out there them out there was Derek Dixon. But early second half, they started running hard at those shooters. And all of a sudden, Vassar and Stevenson were just getting open layup after open layup. And that was the time where it was kind of about time to lose hope in the Rams. And then out of nowhere, they adjusted back. They started covering the rim again. And that's when the comeback started.
And Phil Martelli Jr., it's his go-to, but it's a very good go-to. That small lineup with Michael Bell at center and Barry Evans at four, those two guys have played a lot of really good defense this year. I thought Barry Evans had an amazing defensive performance in the final against Dayton on Sunday, and they held it down again. They held it down again. I mean, they Vassar wasn't rolling on them. Once it became Bell and Evans up front, and it's a wild thing that that's the case, that you would have a 6'8", that you'd be better off with a 6'8" power forward playing center and a 6'5" swingman playing power forward, but this VCU team is, and you just have to shout those two guys out for massive contributions defensively and rebounding in the game.
Yeah, and you say it's surprising, but I think it was the speed that helped the defense start to adjust back. I mean, that's why they were so good in that last Dayton game. But the one guy that we have not given much credit to, who I think was a huge part of the comeback and has not gotten his flowers because the Hill performance was the stuff of legend. But Nick Lewis scored 11 of
Yes.
his 16 points from the comeback through overtime and talked about in the preview that the battle between him and his old high school teammate Derek Dixon may well decide this game. Derek Dixon was pretty good for North Carolina and was badly outplaying Lewis until that ending stretch. He got himself to the line a bunch late as well, and I think he was the big difference in settling down this VCU offense because Djokovic was great early on. Terrence Hill was fine early on, and then they kind of flipped. Djokovic was playing fine. Hill was great to end the game. But it was Lewis as that third guy that really helped everything start to fall into place.
I totally agree with you. Lewis, I mean, we were talking about it in the post game. You know, 7 rebounds, which ties him for Michael Bell, and only Vassar and Trimble get more. He had 3 steals. Some of those were critical in this comeback. One of them, I think, was followed up by a Terrence Hill jumper that got it to 2 points. And he just that Tasmanian devil energy of his, he runs himself into the ground. He absolutely empties himself out there. And you think there's just no way he can play so furiously at the end of these games. And yet he finds a way to do it. And yeah, I mean, it's hard to see past in what Terrence Hill did and how incredible he was. But yes, Nick Lewis, every now and then he'll get out over his skis. Every now and then he gets caught too much dribbling. But in the end of the day, the energy he plays with often can fire up the rest of the team and get them going.
Should we talk about some of the quick negatives in this game? Just because it is important to the story here. That first
Yes.
half, the half court defense, like I said, was good. The transition defense was pitiful. The offense was just truly god awful. Outside of
Yes.
what Lazar Djokovic was doing, he came out hot. He came out trying to go at Vassar like Zach Joachim predicted. He ended up with 9 points. They all came pretty early in the game. Hill outscored him in that first half, but three of his four baskets were off of broken plays where
Yep.
Carolina just forgot he existed on a steal that didn't happen. And then again, off an offensive rebound, and he was able to convert those shots. But Djokovic tried to go at Vassar early and played him pretty evenly the first 12 or so minutes. Vassar then just kind of took over that middle 20 of the game and one of the big things that helped is that Djokovic found a way to start bodying him up again in crunch time.
The turning point in that first half when Djokovic drove and he was clearly fouled. Vasar hooked him under his arm, and then as he was coming through, somebody else was swiping at the ball and poked Djokovic in the eye. This was, I want to say, round, and then Carolina went down and hit a three right after that with Djokovic down on the ground. Djokovic kind of shrunk after that, in my opinion. And it took, I mean, you're right. He started the way he started out. I thought, oh man, this is on here. Him and Vasar are just going to be going at it, and both of them are going to score 20 plus. And from that point, Djokovic didn't score until very late in the second half as part of the big comeback. But yeah, I think that was the turning point in the first half, was that sequence there. They showed the replay from behind the basket, and it's clear Vasar is right up under his arm. And I didn't see it the first time, but on the replay, you see the guy swiping. It definitely gets Djokovic in the eye. Of course, he doesn't mean to. And let's face it, there have been times this year where Djokovic has kind of gotten rhetorically punched in the mouth, and he hasn't taken it well. And in the second half, I think you're absolutely right. I think he did a much better job. He was part of the great defense on that last possession before overtime, where they were trying to do something through Vasar, and they really attacked the ball screen, and they ended up kind of triple teaming it because even Lewis came up there and I think caused Vasar to kind of bobble the ball out of bounds. And so Djokovic deserves a lot of credit for, after a period where he didn't really do much and he was kind of physically struggling out there, for finding it within himself to battle back against Vasar in the last 3 minutes and in the overtime.
So in that last stretch, because North Carolina, as VCU was coming back, was trying to just keep going to this left side pick and roll over and over again with Dixon and Vasar, and VCU, the first couple of times they ran it, completely botched the coverage. Djokovic was
Yes.
getting caught too high. Vasar got a couple layups out of it. I thought the play that kind of swung this whole game, and you got to take the context. Jaren Stevenson, an okay shooter. I put him in a very similar classification to Michael Bell, who is someone that can hurt you, but if you need to make a sacrifice defensively, you're fine with leaving him open. Stevenson hits a three on the top left wing with 7 minutes to go. That was when North Carolina took that 14-point lead, that kind of last pinnacle of the game for them. About 6 minutes later, North Carolina's up by three. They have a chance to put the game away. That pick and roll has been unstoppable. Vasar just keeps getting fouled. They go back to it one more time. And this was it. This was so obvious. I'm sitting there going, okay, they're gonna run the left side pick and roll. Like this is clearly coming. And instead of hedging it hard, both guys drop back. And Michael Bell's hanging at the rim. And they leave Jaren Stevenson wide open. Nobody within 10 feet of him at this same exact spot. And he misses it. And I think because of that decision, Hubert Davis didn't go back to that play another time the rest of the game. And if he had, I think North Carolina probably wins this game. Because I just don't think
Probably.
VCU could have stopped it over and over again.
Not the way Vasar was going, because it felt like, and this was part of the reason Djokovic had to come off the floor. Djokovic, how many times would they run that play and Djokovic would go to the ball and leave Vasar, and then Stevenson or the guard would hit Vasar, and it's either like a running, like a running one-hander or a layup or even a dunk. I mean, they just ate him up with it. And I think that's why Djokovic had to come off the floor for a while, because I believe that VCU defended that a lot better when they went to the small lineup.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, that was the difference. The moment that they took Vasar out of the game as a go-to weapon was the moment it started to feel like they truly had a chance. And it was funny because they're still only down three at that point, and yet I still felt like Carolina was going to make the last play that they needed to put the game away. But George, any other key thoughts on this one?
Just the fact that they found the defense that they had played at the end of the regular season and into the A-10 tournament to hold them to two field goals in 12 minutes, to get the 5 second call, which that was in a rather, because as I'm looking at the play-by-play now, you almost forget as good as Nick Lewis was, he missed a key free throw down two with 31 seconds left. They foul Trimble. He misses the front end of a 1-on-1, and they don't get the rebound. And at that point, I just thought, well, that's just perfect. If you send me to hell, that's what happens to teams I cheer for. They either don't make free throws or they don't get key defensive rebounds to win. And they get the 5 second call, and Terrence Hill ties the game. And I was staggered that UNC didn't call a timeout. And I was kind of worried about Terrence Hill just dribbling around and jacking it up, but what a great drive. And he just, those scoop layups and those reverse layups and those things he can do with the basketball when he's driving to the lane. It's something to watch with Terrence Hill. And I got to apologize because when we did the A-10 awards, when we did your three big league awards, I didn't vote Terrence Hill most improved because I thought he was really good last year. He just didn't get enough of a chance. And by what I would consider the parameters of the award, he didn't improve the way, say, Roberts Blooms, who I voted for, did. Well, I apologize because as good as I thought he was last year, he wasn't this, that's for sure.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I voted for Blooms, but Blooms did not just have a 34-point, 5-rebound, 5-assist, triple-nickel in an NCAA tournament victory. And you mentioned that end sequence. I mean, the way this game finished in overtime, it's easy to forget that Vassar and Jadrian Tracy both nearly lost their teams the game in those closing seconds with terrible turnovers. Neither
Yes.
team could convert. We ended up in overtime, and VCU is victorious. And now they march on to play Illinois 7 o'clock on Saturday night. We'll be previewing that
Ooh.
game on this show. George, we know you'll be doing a post-game show afterwards, win or lose. Where can all the good people find you?
You can follow myself on Twitter at Temp the Rat, which has been just, if you're, I hope. I hope I haven't drowned everybody in memes tonight because I've been using a lot of different ones in reaction to what happened. You can follow Rams Rewind at VCU Rams Rewind on all your fine podcast platforms too, Spotify, Podbean, Apple Podcast, all those places. Yes, we will be doing a post game, and who knows if somehow they can pull the Illinois thing off. We might even get our stuff together and try to do a preview, but I have to say, Tyler, I've been very happy to leave that to you because the previews have been outstanding, all of them, and the VCU one was certainly no different with Zach joining you.
Well, thank you there, George. Hopefully we get I got some invites out. Hopefully we can make this happen sometime on Friday. But thank you for joining
And may
me.
I make one
Yeah.
statement about St. Louis tonight? I mean, that was an absolute thing of beauty from Ward One. And I'm sure, I don't know who you're having coming on talking about St. Louis. The thing we've overlooked with them all year, and I'm as guilty as everybody else, is just what a damn good defensive team they are. And they showed that tonight.
Yeah, I mean that was a smacking, but we'll get into that recap later. George, thank you for hopping on here super late at night to talk VCU.
It's a pleasure. At some point, I'm going to get to bed tonight and sleep because I have to work tomorrow, but I'm not sure when that's going to be.
Yeah, it's March Madness Friday. We're all going to be suffering in the morning, but we'll all do that together.
Yes.